This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day.
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be
there in and out. Hello, we're at Roswell today for the kickoff social event here for the Ride for Roswell, which is coming up on 30 years. Mike Shope here with Sal Capaccio. Maybe ironically, it's a tricky word for me, Sal, but Bulldog is the captain of the WGR team, yet he is not present because he's on a holiday.
He's getting ready.
He's on holiday.
He's training.
Is
he's
he? He
might be in Puerto Rico.
Can
training.
You imagine going to Puerto Rico and training? You know, you get a how many weeks a year do you get? You're lucky enough to get a little bit of time. You go to a tropical location. You know, I'd have a very tough time getting off my butt, I think, if I were in Puerto Rico for
Rocky
a week.
Rocky went to Russia to do it. Right?
Well, Rocky's a very special.
I mean,
not everybody can be Rocky. But yes, that beach run is that in Russia?
No.
That's the
California.
Cold.
Yeah. Rocky IV, he went there. Rocky, two and three. Three? See? Guy from Roswell tells us it's three. He's out on the beach.
Three.
When he finally beats Apollo in the race.
With that song?
Carl Weathers, yes.
Survivor? I don't know my Rocky like maybe I should. You'd think
sounds
I
like
would
it.
Because these are old movies. That's kind of my specialty, but
I was just watching today, believe it or not. I never have time in the afternoon, really, to kind of just relax, but I said, I better just chill before I head over here. I got to do a show today with you, and I happen to be flipping through, and Roadhouse, the original, was on. Not the one that was just made.
Roadhouse.
A couple years ago, but the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse was on. It's a great classic movie, and I was watching it, and Yana, my wife, she comes in, and she says, what are you watching? I said, Roadhouse. She said, I don't think I've ever seen it. I said, are you kidding me? We have to watch Roadhouse now together.
I definitely have never seen
You've it. Never seen Roadhouse?
No.
Come on.
No, I mean, I'm trying not to laugh. No, I've never seen Roadhouse. I mean, I've heard of it. But I've never seen. You could have called me. I could have come over and watched Roadhouse with you and your wife.
I'm looking at the chat, the bullpen, as they call it, on Jeremy and Joe. Hey, everybody, how are you? Good to see you. Mike's never watched Roadhouse.
No. I mean, I'm still young. Maybe tonight it'll happen. Sal, it's been too long since you and I have settled into a show together. I'm excited about it. We have Chris Trapasso coming over here to Roswell today, and he'll be with us for an hour from 4 to 5 talking about the draft. As eager as I am to get into schedule stuff with you, because I always like that's my instinct,
yep.
and my love. But the draft, I mean, didn't Russell Wilson signing with the Giants maybe kind of really clarify the top of this draft? Yep. Like, they're not in the quarterback market now, are they, with Wilson and Jameis Winston?
I don't think so. I think this tells me two things. When the Giants go out and sign Russell Wilson, to me it's two things. Number one, and it could be either order. Number one, it tells me they are pretty convinced they're not getting Aaron Rodgers, or they don't want Aaron Rodgers. It's one or the other. Mm-hmm. Either they think Rodgers is going to the Pittsburgh, or they think it's taking too long, or they just don't want him. We need to move on here. Number two is, I don't think they love anybody enough in the draft. Even if they felt they love somebody enough, maybe they think they're not going to get one of the top two, Ward or Sanders, because they could go before them. But I think this tells me both these things, Mike, which is they don't love somebody enough, and they're not going to get Rodgers. And I've maintained all along, especially listening at the Combine to them talk, specifically Joe Shane, I should say, and then talking to New York media, I felt all along they were not going to start a rookie this year anyway because their jobs are on the line. They can't do that. So it had to be, to me, Rodgers or Wilson or another veteran to start, and then maybe you draft a rookie to develop, and I think that's even off the table now.
Yeah. I was thinking yesterday and talking yesterday about Winston there. Like, what a funny, almost, choice, odd choice for a must-win season. I mean, they're in tough. Daboll is in tough already. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the division's probably good. Super Bowl champ. Washington had a great season. Dallas is probably better. So it's going to be a big, you know, tall order for the Giants. But imagine, like, having whatever the context – you have to win this year, and your quarterback is Jameis Winston. Like that is a ride. You are signing up, right, for Roswell. Yeah. You are signing up for a ride if you have Jameis Winston now. I mean, Wilson is kind of like the opposite of Rodgers was. Wilson is more the opposite of Winston. I mean, it's not like he will never take a chance, but I think, you know, it's more going to be more conservative,
much higher floor,
yeah,
maybe lower ceiling.
Yeah, I would think.
Right?
I think so. I think so. Which is probably not the bet I'd want to make either. I don't know. Like, with the Giants, there was never really a good option, right? I mean, even picking third, maybe it's one or the other of your scenarios, or it's both, where they might have wanted Sanders, right, in the draft, mm-hmm. but maybe they think that that's not something they can pull off. I kind of doubt that.
They could jump one spot if they felt Cleveland really was going to take one of these guys. Because I think at this point, people are – take Sanders, I should say. I think most people think that number one will be Cam Ward.
I do.
Yep. And then if the Giants really felt strongly about Sanders, but, man, the Browns are going to take him, that's maybe how you get here. But I think that's a leap because the Browns even are maybe not going to take Sanders. And if they're not – necessarily entrenched on that, you could probably flip one spot with them to give them something in return.
Yeah, they'd have to want to do it.
Yeah,
Cleveland, right? They might not even want to entertain. That's the Trubisky situation, right? Trading from 3 to 2. That's what the Bears did with Solomon Thomas, from 3 to 2. I don't know who was San Francisco's quarterback at the time. I guess it doesn't matter.
Garoppolo,
was it even back then?
I don't even
17.
Maybe. Ooh,
maybe
not
16 season. Maybe it was.
But
Kaepernick,
look,
no, it wasn't Kaepernick anymore.
I think, though, the overall point here is the Giants, their GM, Joe Shane, their head coach, Brian Daboll, their jobs are on the line. They know that. We know that. They have to win, and I don't think they're willing to bet their season and bank their season on a rookie.
Yep.
But
I agree.
They're also probably not willing to bank it on Jameis Winston and his variance, as you just pointed out a little while ago. My buddy, T.J. Reeves, the sideline reporter for the Buccaneers, texted me last night. He said, how will we remember the Jameis Winston era in New York? Now, he's still on the team. And my response was, well, he's already thrown a couple picks for them already. Because, I mean, that's what you get with him. You know that. You could also get a 500-yard passing game like he had last year.
I wonder, did they, like, already have an offer in to Wilson at the time of signing Winston? It's only a few days apart. Like, why would you need Winston now? Wilson doesn't leave the field. He never gets hurt. I mean, he can, but it's not. He had the one year where Geno went in. But really, like, that's one of the most durable quarterbacks in the league. If you make that bet, on, we don't need Jameis Winston as a backup. That's weird. What they should do now, it's the Giants, right? Like, ideally, you sign Wilson, which they maybe only do because Rodgers wasn't interested. But you sign Wilson, you don't need Winston at all. You'd want, I mean, it really shouldn't work the way this appears to be working, where the middle managers are running the organization here and not the owner. But, okay, so I've got Russell Wilson for this year. Maybe I can not be terrible. And then I have, I mean, Jalen Milroe or somebody like that. That's what I would do. I think Wilson with a kid works. It works as well as the Giants were ever going to be able to do. Better than this. They're not going to go trade Jameis Winston now, but they probably should want to because they don't need him.
So I would give you a reason why I think they would do this and what you said, why they would have Winston and Wilson. I'll go exactly back to what Joe Shane said at the Combine. As of just a couple weeks ago, Mike, they had one quarterback on their roster. His name is Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
That's it. Tommy DeVito's the only quarterback on their roster. So what kind of faith do they have in him? Yeah, he's looked pretty good for a hot minute for a quarter or two, right? But obviously they don't have a lot of faith in him having to play a game. So you sign Winston with thinking, okay, we need somebody here who can at least stabilize or help us try to score some points because they're so bad at it, but we need to do better. They finally get Wilson. I think this comes down to if Russell Wilson, at his age, last year had an injury, if he's going to miss some games, we can't bank our season on a rookie that we draft because we have to try and win. I think that's what this basically comes down to. They needed a veteran backup. What I want to know is, did Jameis Winston sign there thinking he is QB1?
He didn't get the money that you would think you would get if you were going to be the starter. But if he thought they were going to draft somebody, yeah, it's just the timing is very strange. You know, bad teams kind of tend to stay bad. 16 Niners was Kaepernick.
Kaepernick, thank
under
you.
Chip Kelly, and then they were done with both after that season. And then 17 is Garoppolo, Brian Hoyer, and C.J. Beathard. And, I mean, we left that open-ended, but Hoyer, Sal, right? Like, so he signs in San Francisco, and the Bills wanted him. Because they were moving on from Taylor, and it was Hoyer and Mike Glennon that they were, like, thought to be in on, and they got neither, and ended up Taylor didn't get the money he thought he was going to get and came back.
You know, it's funny you say that to me. About 2 weeks ago, I was on, I think, Sirius XM with Brian Hoyer, who's co-hosting a show now.
The natural progression.
Right, of course, right? And I thought to myself what you just said. Boy, wasn't there a time where the Bills were going to sign him? And I wanted to say something. I didn't because I didn't want to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Asking him that while I was on the show.
I respect
with him,
that.
Right? So, yeah. But I did ask him, I did talk to him about the new stadium coming, and hey, Brian, you've played in Buffalo, and there's this new stadium. We talked about it. He was talking about playing in Buffalo and what it was like and the environment, and also talking about the pressure of, you know, being in the New England Patriots organization when they were, you know, winning games and so successful. Anyway, I thought about that thinking, man, wasn't he in the mix for the Bills to sign at one point?
I thought they wanted
him. I never asked him that.
I thought they wanted
him. Next time out, I'm going to ask him now.
All right, yeah, if there is a next time.
If there is a next time.
Hoyer and Glennon were the two guys, yeah. And I don't remember, like, the chronology of it, but, Taylor was supposed to be gone. McDermott comes in, and so they'll make that change, yeah. And they don't. And then they have that kind of miraculous playoff drought-ending season. All right, well, I mean, Ward at one. I'm gullible. I say it all the time when it comes to draft stuff. Bulldogs, like, it's everything's a smokescreen. Is it a smokescreen that Tennessee sent everybody to the pro day and then the next day, which was yesterday, had the private workout and everything for Cam Ward? It makes sense. And, like, now it sort of feels like they're just – it's an onslaught from the Titans. But, you know, somebody else could say, well, that's the genius of it to make it look like – I mean – If we were the Tennessee Titans, wouldn't you just draft him?
Yeah, so I think there's two parts to this. Number one, they should draft him. I think will they draft him? Yes, I think they will should they? Probably. They need a quarterback. It feels to me like their coach doesn't even like their current quarterback that they drafted a couple years ago. He's always saying something about him, it seems like, yelling at him on the sidelines or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Will Levis. They moved on from him, apparently. And I would say when it comes to smoke screens, yes, they happen. I don't think they're quite as prevalent with the number one pick. What's the reason? Who cares? You have the number one pick. You don't need to create a smoke screen.
Right.
Unless you're really trying to move the pick
right.
and trade it. I guess you could say that. But to me, why would you put all these people out at the pro day and have workouts? You want to be sure. You have the number one pick. Let's be sure on who we're taking here.
Right. They could do all this and then hate him.
Right. They could.
we don't know right. if they actually like him for these workouts or anything.
But I don't think you're doing it intentionally to fool anybody.
Yeah.
I think you're doing it to make sure you are picking the right guy.
It's a lot of money, dude. A lot of time and effort goes into this if it's just for show.
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion on him?
I like Cam Ward. I think he is the best quarterback in this draft. I don't think he's ready-made to step in and – you know, become a really good quarterback right away. You know, I mean, who knows? Jaden Daniels was rookie of the year and was outstanding. He surpassed my expectations for what he would do. So yeah, I would never count anybody out because we've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that organization, where they are, what his game is, I don't think it screams doing what Jaden Daniels did last year. But I think given the right situation and development, I think Cam Ward can be a good quarterback in this league. I don't know what his ceiling is, but I like his floor. I think he'll be able to step on the field and win some games, help a team. You got to develop the right way. You got to surround them the right way. If there's one thing I think that I've really learned, I've said this many times, probably with you too, really watching McDermott and Bean and Josh Allen after what we went through in Buffalo, and I've covered four head coaches as the beat reporter and sideline guy, I just think it really finally showed to me how important development is and surrounding with the right people. And that's why you don't see teams like the Jets be able to do it correctly. And multiple guys, Geno Smith and Sam Darnold, move on and have success. Whereas in Buffalo, in Baltimore, they've had mostly continuity, their head coach, their organization, they're stable, and they've done it the right way. And look where these guys are now.
You know, that's always a great discussion, how that happens. Because would you not agree, in terms of the Bills, we didn't know the Bills were going to be this until they were this.
Of course.
Like, Allen gets picked, and it's like, good luck, kid.
Yeah.
You're going to whatever, however many years without the playoffs, until the year after, you know, before he was picked. I mean, they'd just broken the drought, but, you know, there was a lot of luck in that. Still, is that exactly where you'd want to go to be, like, developed and have all this stability? None of those words were really applicable to the Bills at that time, but – you know, to McDermott's credit, to the organization's credit, they established that, plus having Allen, and, you know, you could say that this was something that they observed in him, but having Allen do his part in that, and then just also, like, the natural talent and everything else that comes to the surface, and it's a home run. I mean, it's a grand slam. What's bigger than – whatever is bigger than a grand slam, it's that. At the time, were the Bills, like, the opposite. They were closer to the opposite of this. And, you know, the Ravens weren't, and the Chiefs with Reed, right? Like, that was sort of like a good – the Chiefs especially, right? That's a quarter. That's a perfect landing spot for a quarterback. I don't know. Tennessee, you got to be careful on this because Tennessee has the recent history, the reputation, Vrabel, it's Derrick Henry. It's not a team – they trade A.J. Brown, right? Like, it's not a team where – it's more like what the Bills used to be, I think. Like, oh, you know, good luck, kid. But that can change.
Mm-hmm.
That can change. Coach gets year two, and he wants, you know, his own stamp on the thing. Ward has the talent, has the gifts, and maybe it works.
Yeah.
Cleveland is the same thing, too.
Cleveland, they've been kind of wandering the wilderness looking for a quarterback as well. I'm trying to think of recent examples of, well, for a couple of years with a coach, it really didn't work out, and then all of a sudden they drafted a quarterback and it started to work out. And I'm sure there's some out there, but usually you don't maybe even get that much time
right.
if you don't have that guy. Because if the quarterback takes that long, maybe you're already out the door before that happens. But I do think this situation looks like the Tennessee Titans are heading towards Cam Ward. Now, if you don't do that, the other part of this is, what's the other options in the draft? Because if you don't take quarterback, let's just say Cam Ward's their number one guy on their quarterback board, overall quarterback. Okay, so you could either take him, because you need a quarterback, or do you go Abdul Carter? Do you go Travis Hunter? Right? This is a good draft, but I don't think there's a clear cut. You can't. There's no Myles Garrett here where you got to take that guy. Unless you just love the quarterback more than anything, you got to take this other guy. There's nobody like that in this draft.
Carter and Hunter are the two names. I mean,
right.
New England could go offensive line. They're good linemen, apparently. Will Campbell today is being talked about. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other ones. So they could do that. But I think Hunter especially, but then also Carter, are what make – are who make this draft interesting. Like, they're the best things about this.
Yeah.
Because the quarterbacks are okay. They're fine. You know, Ward is fine. Sanders might even be fine. We got to get to what the – eventually what the Browns could or should do at two. But Hunter being – basically two players is insane. And, like, how do you stack that up against quarterback value, right? If the guy is the best cornerback and the best wide receiver in college football, which he was, not only corner, best defensive player.
Yeah.
Bednarik. Best defensive player and best receiver in college football. We've never had that. We've never had Otani in football where it's like, all right, quarterback is everything. But here's two guys. And both are important positions, you know, if he ends up playing full-time both, which maybe that's a lot. Obviously, that's a lot to ask. Hunter is what makes it fun. Like, New England is, to me, well, Tennessee's close, but New England is, like, the least fun team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. All the teams, the Browns, it's a competition right up at the top of this draft for, like, the least fun football teams, organizations. Yet you have this gem of a prospect who is super fun. I'm not exactly jealous because the Bills are, you know, so good. But to have that conversation every day, if you're the Browns or the Patriots, you know, would you do, especially the Browns, because the Patriots might just sort of be decided for them. Would you rather have Hunter than Shedeur Sanders is really good.
It comes down to what you feel about Sanders, what you feel about the quarterback, because it's such an important position. If you're not completely in love with Sanders, I think you go Hunter. But, like, I'm looking at a mock draft right now, they have Carter. If you pair Carter with Myles Garrett, I mean, two incredible edge rushers, right? But I agree with you. I think Hunter's the best football player in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's incredible. I think you put him on any team in the NFL, he's going to be really good. The question is going to be where you play him, how much you play him there. Is he a full-time corner with some package plays at wide receiver? Do you do the thing that nobody's really ever done and play him both ways?
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
As much as possible, right? I mean, nobody's really ever done that. You say that Hunter and Carter are the two guys that are interesting. To me, it's Hunter and Sanders. I think Shedeur Sanders, the two Colorado kids, makes this draft incredibly interesting simply because of who his dad is and where he goes in that dynamic.
Sure.
Now, his dad refuted a quote that was put out there on social media a couple days ago that said, apparently he was attributed to saying, we want it to be New York or something. He wants to go to New York, whatever it is.
Yep.
And he said, this is a lie. He said...
Really?
Yeah, he said, this is a lie. He quoted, he posted under the Instagram post of this, said, this is a lie. we trust God's hands wherever he goes, or something like that. Mm. Something along those lines. So he's saying all the right things. But, Mike, if you're an organization and you draft Shedeur Sanders, I think you have to know that his dad comes with him in some capacity. And that's what makes this also super interesting. And I think the guy is very polarizing as a prospect. I actually think he has some good tools as a quarterback, and he might be a good NFL quarterback. He's accurate. He's a really good athlete. He's not a super great runner, but he's a good athlete. Mm-hmm. But I don't also see necessarily him blowing you out of the water with all the intent, all the traits and the skill set.
He's definitely interesting. Yeah, right. I'm just sort of like putting him in a box as a quarterback, having the other guys who compare, you know, could anybody be more valuable than a quarterback? Well, it depends how good the prospect is. And here's Hunter, who's, and Carter in his own right, like, he's Aaron Donald, right? So, like, you have a couple of possible alternatives that are maybe better. Sure, like, Sanders is interesting. What it comes down to is, end of the day, you're nowhere without a quarterback, so you just do it and you hope. And you do everything you can to surround the player with support and weapons and everything like that. You just do it. The Giants, I think, determined, whatever they think of Sanders, they determined, like, that's not going to be possible for us. Maybe they, round two is still interesting for some of these guys, too, like a Milrow or whatever. So you have that, but not going to happen. So the Browns, that's the one. Ward to the Titans. Giants have begged off signing the two vets.
Yep.
The Browns are the one where it's either Sanders, because quarterback is everything and we're nowhere still forever at quarterback. We thought we had it and we don't. Or it's like, you know what? We don't love the kid. And the stuff you said about Deion, maybe, it's Cleveland, right? Like, they just take Travis Hunter or Carter and figure it out next time. Next year, even, they might end up
that. Okay, let's talk about that. What if they do that? Who's their quarterback this year? Kenny Pickett?
Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett is their starting quarterback this year if that happens.
I think yes. I think it's either Sanders or Pickett.
You're probably right about that.
You know? Yep. And if it's round, they get somebody in round two, which they would do, or eventually, like day two, then Pickett still starts. That'd be my bet.
I still wonder if Kirk Cousins is available at some point.
Maybe Cousins. That's right. That's
possible. They paid that money maybe to better facilitate a trade with a team. Because he's got money paid already.
Right.
You know what I mean? A team didn't have to pay it.
We are at Roswell Park. The Ride for Roswell, I suppose, officially, unofficially kicks off today. There's certainly, it's pretty official. I mean, this room is decked out.
We're in a big room here.
We are. This is the biggest room I've ever been in. It's the Gaylord Gary room here at the complex. So if you're doing a search or something to get to where we're located and where this event later, I think it starts at 5.
Can I show the room on my camera? I can. Look at this, everybody. Here you go. Say hi, everybody.
It's the biggest room I've ever seen. And there's a lot of balloons, and there's going to be food.
There you go.
803-0550 if you want to join us. Sal in for Bulldog today. I'm Mike Shope here at Roswell Park. Chris Trapasso from 4 to 5. This is WGR.
When I watch Hairston's tape, he's a guy that not only can cover in man-to-man situations, but he's willing to go hit you. And, I mean, that's something that you don't see a lot. And I know the Bills are big on their corners being able to tackle. And I think that's important. And he does it. He's willing to do it. And you can see here, that's closing speed, makeup speed. And all corners have to have that. He plays with a swagger. He plays with an attitude. And I think he'd be a nice addition to their team.
Veteran NFL analyst on One Bills Live today. Mike Shope here at Roswell Park with Sal Capaccio. I can get you right through to Sal. 803-0550 is the number. The Ride for Roswell kickoff event today, starting at, I believe, 5 here in the Gaylord Gary conference room. Source tells me not a ballroom.
Not a ballroom.
I don't know. I don't know ballroom specs. Do you have to be a certain square footage to qualify? I don't know. I don't know that much.
I know
sports. Some would beg to differ.
I think we could get up here and cha-cha and turn this into a ballroom, but not today, but because we're doing the Ride for Roswell, but it could be a ballroom.
It's one speaker away from becoming a ballroom.
Maybe that's it. Yes.
Pete Prisco talking about Kentucky cornerback Maxwell Hairston. Sal and I were talking during the break, and you were saying, like, I'm not all the way there on, like, the names of the guys yet in the Bills range. This is one that, you know, you're going to hear a lot about, I think, Hairston. And Corner, I'm hearing your voice tell me, like, remember, they still really don't have an obvious one anyway, starting cornerback. So is it Maxwell Hairston? Is it Amos, another one from Ole Miss? Those are, I think, the names. Not going to be Travis Hunter.
No, and I think when you look at a guy like Will Johnson of Michigan, way too high, obviously. If he starts to fall, is there someone – Brandon Bean has traded up, right? Will Johnson, Jedi Barron. Are these guys with Barron, I believe, is more of a slot guy. But a guy like Will Johnson, let's say, if he starts to fall a little bit, you just talked about Maxwell Hairston. Maybe he's available at 30. Does he make a move like he has two of the last 3 years? Kyer Elam, Dalton Kincaid. And actually, he moved last year. But the other way, went down and ultimately drafted Keon Coleman. But we know that Brandon Bean is willing to trade up if there's a guy there that he likes. And I think that's the kind of position this year that maybe they would do it for.
You know, we should talk about that too. I did some on this yesterday because I guess One Bills Live did why trade up, or not why, but what about it is why you would do it. It was sort of like slanted toward what are your reasons for wanting them to trade up if that's how you feel. And, I mean, I'm just militant about it. Never do it. Quarterback, maybe. Only exception. Never do it. You know, with respect to Bean, Elam and Kincaid were both moving up two spots and giving up a fourth-round pick to do it. Mm-hmm. You've had that chart where they only have made three fourth-round picks since
2018. It really is amazing, yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, to me, that's not good math. But, you know, it's not real life, but in fantasy, you know, you sort of, it gets close and you get excited about a player and you just don't want to risk it. I'm moving up two spots. Maybe there's some intel. It was Dallas with Kincaid that they thought maybe Dallas was going to take him. They jumped over Dallas to take Kincaid, and maybe that's right. Maybe they should just let that happen and draft Laporta or whoever. Like, I don't know. I'd rather have the fourth round pick than move the two. It's been both. James Cook was trading down twice in the second round, and they got a sixth each time to do that. And I would guess, maybe you know this or different, that they wanted Cook, and they thought that was going to be attainable even by moving down twice.
That was the year that they lost out on J.D. McKissic, and they were looking for a back with that skill set. So I wouldn't doubt that they were looking, that they really liked James Cook for that. Now, granted, he wasn't as great of a receiver in his first couple years, but you know he's obviously turned out into a good all-around back. But that was that year that happened, if you remember. If you remember back to the Kyer Elam year, Mike, one of the things that happened was the Chiefs traded up. Excuse me, the Chiefs traded up for Trent McDuffie.
McDuffie, right?
And I wonder. I mean, yes, it's all anecdotal, and it's all. I mean, you could do this, spin yourself in 100 different ways. But what if the Bills had traded up for McDuffie? and right, and instead of Kyer Elam, because I think I really believe they really like Trent McDuffie, and they wanted him, but the Chiefs traded up first, they got him, so now you get in a position where, well, we really need to take a corner here. Who's next on our board? You go up and get Elam. But if they trade up and get McDuffie, maybe it's a different conversation.
You know, I'm going to say something that I don't think anybody has ever said, and it's going to. I'm glad you're sitting down because it's going to be controversial. I'm sick of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the Chiefs. I mean, okay, so are we Charlie Brown and the football, and they're Lucy or something like this? So that McDuffie point, that it's worthy. Oh, sure, you know, whatever. It's good math. We'll trade out, and it's worthy. This year, I did this yesterday, looking at the work of Pro Football Network. Bills 30, Chiefs 31 in the first round, and their top need is defensive tackle. So get ready. Get your boots on. If you want Kenneth Grant or, you know, Walter Nolan or one of these guys, and there's some thirst for defensive tackles, which there is. Philadelphia also at 32. Like, there's a handful of teams in that bottom, say, quarter of the first round that are, like, kind of, it makes sense. And the position is rich this year. You might have to figure out an end around on Kansas City again. I mean, that's hasn't really worked out yet. It hasn't happened yet. But anyway, it's just to say that, like, the Chiefs are your competition.
Right.
Again, you pick in front of them, but that's for now.
Because they've already shown that they'll be willing to move up. And if they are interested in the same position, that could happen again. The Bills have three picks in the top 62. They have two second-rounders. I would be stunned, as I sit here today, if more than one went to the offensive side. I think it's either three defense, no offense, or two defense, one offense. And that's, even then, I mean, you could make an argument, it should be all three defense. I remember, I'm thinking back to what Brandon Bean said on Ryan Fitzpatrick's podcast last week with Andrew Whitworth as well, and he said, right out, as of right now, we're probably focused going to have more picks on defense. But in those first three picks, I think you're looking defense. It's defensive tackle and it's corner, I think, easily in with it two of the first three picks.
It's not saying much. I'd like to have a third. The third is kind of a fun leverage round where, you know, you've got day three is more just like let's fill the roster together. But you still have some premium players, second round, third round, and then, you know, you want to move around a little bit. A third would be nice. You can do it with two fourths or a fourth and a fifth. Maybe the Bills do something like that. There's been plenty of that, as you know, over the years, or
wait,
by moving out of round two.
Right. Would you rather them move down from round two to get in back to round three?
Yes.
Or move up one of the – you have two fourths and three fifths.
I know. I want to use them all. I'm always down. You don't have to ask me. My answer is always down.
I get it. But they have 10 picks. Are you picking 10? I know, more dart throws, right? No
yes.
doubt. No doubt. More
yes.
dart throws.
Yes.
But it's also more guys that aren't going to make your roster probably that you're taking that – you know, you might wind up just saying it was a kind of a wasted pick because somebody else can take them when you waive them.
I don't think that's a wasted pick. I wouldn't measure it by, like, how many make the team. You know, we've had this conversation. The bad teams have the – say they have 10 – say New England has 10 picks. More of them are going to make it because they have more needs. Doesn't mean the players are better.
Agreed.
It just means, like, we have to you know, rebuild, right? So, yeah, I'd rather just have – the Bills have shown to have a propensity. Like, they can identify the talent. I can coach this guy, you know, even in the late rounds. They've had it at receiver. They've had it at, in Benford's case. Like, they've had that. Just give me the more shots at it. And if that means five players don't make the roster, I don't think that's a loss.
What's funny to me is last year, I don't remember how many they had going into the draft last year, but they came out with 10.
Yeah.
They picked 10 guys last year. Now, it was a bit of a reset last year because they got rid of a bunch of guys, veterans on the roster. We know Micah, Jordan, Tre'Davious White, those guys, Saran Neal, Mitch Morse. So maybe they're in a different position. But I remember thinking last year, if you would have said to me, over or under the Bills picking 9 guys, I would have said under. They're not going to pick 10 guys. They did. They picked 10 last year. So who knows? Maybe they do it again this year.
But I probably did ask you that.
Yeah, the roster is a little bit younger now. So I don't know if there's quite as much room to do that for some of these guys, but they do have 10 picks as of right now.
Well, how many made it? Coleman, Bishop, Carter, you know, several of them did make it. Your top guys are always going to make it. You're not going to cut them out of camp, right?
Top guys, you're not going to. Here it is. Travis Clayton actually made the roster as the swing tackle.
Ray Davis.
I'm sorry, not Travis Clayton. Tylon Grable. Apologies. Tylon Grable made it as the swing tackle. Clayton was the international pathways guy who went on injured reserve.
Jane Granger made the team.
Every one of them did except for Daquan Hardy did not.
Olafoscio made the team.
Yep. Daquan Hardy did not, and Travis Clayton did not.
Solomon.
So eight.
Do we do this, or does Zach do this?
I can do it.
Let's talk to Glenn here. Hi, Glenn. Welcome.
Good afternoon, guys. I had an opportunity to watch the combine completely and was really impressed with the wide receivers coming out. Given that I understand the need for defensive line help and cornerback, could you see a scenario where, again, they go back to their first selection being a wide receiver?
This is a really interesting and good question, Glenn, that Matt Bove and I have debated a lot, and it's always game day in Buffalo. He is on the side of he thinks wide receiver is much more in play than I believe wide receiver is in play, Mike, with the first-round pick. And here's why. I understand, and I would say, Glenn, that no doubt if there's a really good wide receiver, it could help this offense. But I think about how they operate and what they think about, Mike, which is I don't know where he's playing right away, and even though they need still like a speed guy, let's say, where is he? He's the fifth guy if he gets drafted now. Maybe fourth at best. I just don't see them doing that.
I can't see them using a late first on a receiver.
I can't either.
I don't think it's the year for it either.
No.
I mean, there are a couple of guys who are tempting, but doesn't sound to me like there's that much difference between certain second or third round options. I've decided Agreed. Who I like. Iomanner from Stanford. He's the one I like. So that might be round two at the earliest. I tend to doubt it. Everything about this, the history, the way the season ended up playing out, the draft class, the respective, everything points to defense. Thanks, Glenn. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at Roswell Park. Rideforroswell.org for more. There'll be a lot of people in here, whether it's a ballroom or not, coming up in a couple of hours. We'll be back. Chris Trapasso for an hour. Glenn, other draft enthusiasts in our audience. Stay tuned for an hour with Chris, getting all through these prospects and what will happen in what's now a little bit less than a month. Back after this here on WGR. Fun. We're at Roswell Park today. The Ride for Roswell kickoff event is coming up later this afternoon. Many of you, a part of this event. Maybe we'll see some of you down here starting about 5 today. They are ready for you. Mike Schopp here with Sal Capaccio. Bulldog is off through Monday. Baseball, Sal.
Yes, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yankees, Mets. Opening day for everybody around the league, but yeah.
Jays are home to Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
Yankees have Milwaukee.
Yes, as you pointed out, which is amazing, their first three series are against NL teams, and then a series against Detroit, and then another NL team, I noticed.
After that?
Yeah, I think it's 4 of their first 5, actually.
Okay. Get them in.
I guess so.
I mean, you play everybody home and away now. So it's nothing. It's just about the order, right? Like the baseball went to that, where everybody goes to every stadium, both leagues, every year. The Yankees' leadoff hitter is a catcher.
Yes, this is a really good discussion because I think it's fascinating, Mike, how baseball has really changed in this regard. But the Yankees are also unique this year, even with the change, that they may, it looks like, lead off a catcher, Austin Wells.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's had a really good spring, and he knows how to get on base. But it's been years since we saw the traditional fastest guy, leadoff guy, getting on base and stealing bases. Teams don't operate like that anymore. I mean, it's really just, hey, it's a lot. Obviously, analytics plays a big role. It's get on base, but it doesn't have to be your fastest guy. It's not the guy that's just going to steal a bunch of bases. It's not Ricky Henderson types all over the place. Even Brett Gardner's that the Yankees had, you know, for several years. But you think about that. And then the other part that has really changed, the best hitter was always the number 3 hole when we were growing up, and now it's always the number 2 hole.
Always number 2. Right. And your worst hitter should bat 7th.
Right.
Your best hitter should bat 2nd, your worst hitter should bat 7th.
And then because you want number 1 now hitting, who's not that traditional leadoff guy, to actually hit with 8 or 9 getting on base, and 7 could wind up ending in hitting because of the way the math flows.
Mm-hmm. The pitch clock was a big win, I think, for baseball. It didn't really sound great. But it just was. It worked. I think it did what maybe most people wanted, which is just to keep the games under control time-wise. They'd kind of gotten out of control. But what they did to bring back stolen bases is right there next. I mean,
yeah, I love it.
It's great.
Yep.
And so, I mean, in the last 20 years, everybody decided that it wasn't worth it to try to steal a base. So, you know, whoever you want at the top of the lineup, but he's not running. and now that's kind of back. You have a lot of guys. I mean, Ohtani was 50-50.
You think we could go back to maybe a little bit more of a traditional, faster leadoff guy, get on base, than what we had?
I don't know. Getting on base is the far and away number one trait. Mm-hmm. So if they can run, I mean, somebody in that lineup will be able to run. That's your tiebreaker, I think, probably. But
Well, as a Yankee fan, I'll tell you, the guy who should be the leadoff hitter is Volpe. He just can't be consistent enough to get on base.
He
is your natural leadoff hitter, actually, with his skill set.
Doesn't hit for power.
Right.
Fast. Maybe even small, you know, to say that.
Good base runner, too. He's a good base runner. He's smart. But he doesn't get on base enough.
Right. So where does he bat? 6th? Later?
Yeah. I think that's it.
Carlos Carrasco in the Yankee rotation to start the season. He's hanging on. Injuries.
They tried to trade Marcus Stroman for 2 months, and now he's suddenly a big part of the rotation because of their injuries.
Who's pitching tomorrow?
I believe Rodon.
Okay.
He's not their ace.
That works.
Fried.
Max Fried?
Max Fried is. But Rodon pitches tomorrow, I believe, because of the matchup.
I like Fried. Good. Chris Trapasso. We should see him walk in at any moment here, hopefully. He regularly joins us at 4 on Wednesdays. Decided he's going to stay for the hour with us out at Roswell Park, so looking forward to that. Mike Schoep here, Sal Capaccio as well, in for Bulldog. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.